John chapter 2, verse 1. On the third day, there was a wedding in the Canaan of Galilee. Say with me, it's the first miracle. Number one. And the mother of Jesus was there. Now, both Jesus and his disciples invited to the wedding. This is interesting. Jesus' mama was there, but Jesus was invited. I wonder if she is even invited. You ever had your mom just show up someplace uninvited? I'm just asking. I mean, you got the invitation, you and your buddies, but mom showed up. Been living with her for 30 years, and now she's following me to the party. Then it just chaps, never mind. And when they ran out of wine, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." Jesus said to her, "Woman, what does your concern have to do with me? My hour has not yet come." How many times you had to look at your mother and said, "What?" Your mother said to the servants, "Whatever he says to you, do it." Now there were set there 6 water pots of stone according to the manner of the purification of the Jews, containing 20 or 30 gallons apiece. These are big pots. Say big pots. I could preach on, are you a big pot or a little pot? Never mind. Jesus said to them, "Fill up the water pots with water," and they filled them up to the brim. And he said to them, "Draw out some of that now and take to the master of the feast." And they took it, and when the master of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine and did not know where it came from, but the servants who had drawn the water knew, say they knew. The master of the feast called the bridegroom and said to them, "Every man at the beginning sets out the good wine when the guests have well drunk, and then the inferior. But you have kept the good wine until now." Say, until now. Say it again. Until now. No, you hadn't got it. Say, until now. Not yesterday, not 5 minutes ago, but until now. How many of you can taste the difference when something changes? That was okay, but this is better. Say, this is better. This is the beginning of the signs Jesus did in the Cana of Galilee and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. Lord, I pray that our ears are open. I pray that we'll never be the same. I pray that after we've tasted the new, we'd never swallow the old. Lord, I pray that you change our palates this morning, and that what once tempted us will no longer tempt us. I ask it in Jesus' name, and at least some of you said, amen. I've been talking about Paul saying, "I travail in birth again until Christ is formed in you, until you have taken on the shape, the form, the nature, that you look like the one that created you, and that you've been recreated in the image and the likeness of the Jesus that died on the cross and sits on a throne, that the before and after pictures are better than anything you could ever see on TV." I pray that we begin to understand that when God shaped Adam, he did it with his hands. He put his hands in his life. That we would catch what Isaiah said when he said, "We are the clay and you are the potter. All we are the works of your hands." I pray that you could feel the hands of Christ reaching up into your heart and remolding it, reaching up into your guts and changing it. I pray that you could feel the work on the inside as he pushes you back into the place that you need to be. I pray that you could feel the air of God blow back up the person you are. You've become so wrinkled and so unfulfilled, but on the inside is someone pushing you to the extremes again. I pray that you feel the hands that are no longer on the outside, but the potter that's taken up residence on the inside. That he never takes his hands off of the clay. And if you've ever watched a potter, you know he puts a lot of water on it and he keeps it pliable. So he just pours the Holy Spirit on people. It's a lot easier to let the Holy Spirit be the moisture on your life than to have to go through this dry. I find myself dizzy at times. I've asked the Lord, "Lord, what is going on? I'm dizzy. I literally am physically dizzy." And it dawns on me that he's got this wheel and I'm going round and round and round and round and round. I said, "Could we slow down a minute?" He goes, "No, I'm in a hurry." Have you ever felt yourself wet and dizzy? I mean, just dripping wet and dizzy and hoping no one notices. hoping that you can keep your composure in front of the church so you don't offend somebody else's wife. You'll get it in a minute. Paul writes in Romans 8, for whom he foreknew, say foreknew. How many know he knew you before? He knew you before he formed you in the womb. And honey, he knows you now that you're out. He knew you when you were but an embryo inside the stomach of your mama. He foreknew you and he also predestined. Say with me, I'm destined. I have a destiny to be conformed to the image of his son. My destiny is to look like, sound like, talk like, operate like Jesus. That is my destiny. My destiny is not heaven. Heaven is, I am heaven's destiny. You have been lied to. It's not that we're going to, it's that heaven's coming to. And you get heaven on the inside of you, it'll change. It's not about getting you into, it's about getting it into you. And when you get Jesus on the inside of you, I love the way the message says it. God knew what he was doing from the very beginning. Say, duh. God knew what he was doing from the very beginning. He decided from the outset to shape the lives of those who love him. Anybody in here love Jesus? Oh, come on, be radical. I find WSU fans nuttier than you. How many of you love Jesus? He said, that's better. Shape the life, that's even better. Shape the lives of those that love him along the same lines as the life of his son. From the outset, his plan is to make you like his son. Listen, it is a religious fallacy that God looks at you and then looks at Jesus and says, okay, because of Jesus, I'll let you in. So you brought the bum for dinner again. This isn't that you go to Thanksgiving dinner and dad looks over your shoulder and says, well, because you're with him, I'll let you in. Amen. Yes, he came to be with you. He left to be in you. You got to understand, he came to be with, he left to be in. And it's not because he looks at Jesus and said, okay, you're in. It's that he looks at you and you are. It's that he looks at you and can't tell the difference between Jesus and you. That when he looks at you, you look just like, sound just like, act just like. It's like he's got a duplicate being. We're Christians. We act like, be like, are like. We don't have to wonder what Jesus would do. We just do. That was a pretty good run. You know, you win in basketball if you have a good run, or that's what Charles tells me. And then I realized, no, that's what happens when you're preaching. If you get a good run, you win. You back up. So when I start taking a breath, I'm just waiting for the next break. I'll get on a run in a minute. This is filler. Some of you missed it. Our family was just together for about 8-10 days. Mom's 90th birthday, and her 95-year-old brother was there, Dean. Man, that's good genes, right? And it's funny, they were there, and then their kids were there, my wife and her siblings, and then their cousins, and you know, they're all about 60, and they're older than us, and they're much older, and they were there, and then their kids were there, so all of my kids and those kids, and they're all about 30-something, and they're there, and then you got all these grandkids that, you know, are this high, and then you got friends and family gathered, and so the ones Annie's age would start telling stories on the family, and you'd be going, that ain't funny. Have you ever been around a family reunion and they're talking in code? They talk in code. They only say about half what they mean, and the other person goes, yeah, I remember that. It sounded like me preaching. And I never finish a sentence because everybody goes, yeah, I know that. Yeah, I know that. And that's why you go, well, I wish you'd tell me where that's at. Well, I figured you read the book. I hate it when someone reads me the contract. I can read the contract. But they're telling these inside jokes. And then the mom and Dean, they started telling jokes from 1902 or something. And only two of them got it. Have you ever been to one of them family reunions and the only people that got the joke were the people that... It's like the NASCAR thing, right? Until you get the headphones, you can't get it. Listen, some of you are watching other people worship and you cannot get it. You got to get on the inside to understand this. I don't preach on Sunday morning for outside. I preach on inside. Contrary to church growth, I'm trying to grow you believing you'll go get somebody and bring them in. This is for insiders. This is to help you understand that Christ is in you and that He's working through you so that you can be like Him.
Okay.
Say with me, you got to be on the inside to get this. And you know, if you come to a Pentecostal church, we really talk in code. I mean, somebody may fall down up here a minute and just scare Myrtle to death. Don't sweat it. We'll resurrect her. Yeah. Three people are going, when do I get out? Never mind. I could tell you a story, but I better not. On the third day, they'd been drinking for 3 days. Have you ever been to a party? I used to dream about going to a party where you drank for 3 days. These people are drunk. In a different life, we had a name for people like that. They were wasted. I mean, wasted. And Mary shows up uninvited and starts talking to Jesus, the Son of God. And she says, whatever He says, do it. This girl had inside information. This girl had been living with this boy for 30 years. She knew that if he said it and you did it, something changed. I wonder how many times she went and said, we're out of bread. I'm telling you, when He multiplied those loaves and fishes, it wasn't the first time. We need milk. I wonder how many times that Jesus had said something and Mary and the sons had done it and it had proved to be miraculous in the life of this little house in Nazareth. Mary knew something about inside information. She had inside trader stuff. She knew what to invest in. Listen to me. If you're ever going to get on the inside, you might have to listen to someone who's already been there. Some of you refuse to take the word of some of us who have been living on the inside of the Holy Ghost, and you're waiting to hear it yourself. There's always a Mary going, trust me, whatever He says, do it. Some of you get too far away from some of us that can hear. She had insider information. She spoke to them. I love it. Jesus said, what does your concern have to do with me? Have you ever looked at your mother and go, get off my back? Right? I mean, you misunderstand. This is mother and son. They have this love-hate thing going on. You never thought about it. They're human. And she just walks away. She had confidence that even though it was troubling to Him, even though it was an interruption, He would not overlook her concern. Because the Bible says the Lord perfects those things that concerneth me. Even if it isn't His concern because it's my concern, He'll take care of my concern because He loves me. It might not be a concern to Him, but He loves me. And because He loves me, if it concerns me, He's going to perfect it. She had inside information. She knew her relationship. Her relationship transcended the interruption. You need to understand there's nothing too small in your life. If God's willing to give more wine to a bunch of drunks because it concerned His mother, who is uninvited to the party. Am I getting there? Are you getting this picture? Some of you are way too scared to ask God to heal your foot, and Mary's asking for Jesus to give a bunch of drunks another glass of wine. And He ain't even down with it. You know, there are some people that can make things happen. I like Mary because she can make stuff happen. I like being around women that can make something happen. You ever been around a woman that can make something happen? They know how to pray. If you really want to get your life changed, get a woman that can pray. And then there's people that just watch what's happening. It doesn't matter how long we sing. It doesn't matter how great it gets in here. They're going to go, you know, a bunch of Fruit Loops. They're going to be bored no matter what you do. And then there are other people that ain't got a clue what's going on. They ain't got a clue what's happening. They're going, they ain't got a clue. Mary knew how to make things happen because she had inside information on what and how Jesus would work. Whatever he says, do it. You see, miracles are a process. Transformation, being reformed, is a process. He says it, you do it, wait for it. He tells you something to do, you do it, now wait for it. It's very simple. How does your life get reformed? How do you get transformed? You hear the whisper, you do what he said, and you wait for the outcome. Am I making any sense? And so the servants, the Bible says, listened to the whisper of Mary and listened to the whisper of Jesus.
Don't put water in a water pot. Take it out and take it up there.
So they went and poured the water in the water pots, dipped it out, and in fear and trembling went and poured it on the table. I mean, can you imagine being that servant? Sometimes when you obey God, you're either going to get fired or a raise. I mean, you dip they didn't have glass see-through. It was a clay pitcher into a clay pot. You walk over here and you pour the first drop and you're going, oh! The Bible said the servants knew, but the master at the table didn't. You need to understand something. Mary's inside information got transferred to the servants because the servants obeyed. Amen. You want to be transformed? Do what you're told. How many times do I look at children and say, just do what Papa says? But Papa, just do what Papa says. I want you to understand, the servants had inside information because they obeyed a whisper. The master didn't know, but the servants know. I got any servants in here? And the more you listen to the whisper, and the more you obey the whisper, and the more you just wait for the outcome, the more miracles of transformation you're... Did you get the story? So here's three little ways to experience transformation in your life. Whatever he says, do it, and wait for it. Of course, that presupposes that you've heard something. How many of you know that verse, the renewing of your mind? Be transformed by the renewing. Say renewing. Say renew. How many of you ever had to renew your driver's license? How many of you had a driver's license and you had to renew it? If you didn't have one, you applied for one. But if you renewed it, you had one. Say, I got one. I got a mind. It's not that you didn't have a mind. It's that you have one, but you need to renew it. It expired. Some of your minds have expired. I'm just saying, some of you have been put in conditions that you have not had the mental ability to deal with. And you need to have a driver's license test and renew your skills. When I got my driver's license for my motorcycle, did you know they made me ride that thing? I couldn't believe that she made me get on that thing and ride it in front of her so she could watch and see if I could ride the thing. I said, honey, I got a license. She said, yeah, I want to see if you're any good at it. Say, renew. You ever renewed your insurance? If you haven't, this is your warning. How many ever renewed your marriage vows? If you haven't, you're already dead. I'm just saying, you may not have had to have a whole ceremony, but you better not have forgot yesterday's anniversary. My marriage isn't what it used to be. When's the last time you took home flowers? She didn't like flowers. You're an idiot. She may not like them, but you buy them anyway. I don't care if she says, oh, you shouldn't have. You should have. She didn't like to eat out. Oh, you really are. We need to talk. You don't need counseling. You need a two-by-four. Bam! I have trained donkeys in my life. Step up. Right? Sometimes the only way you can get an old cow to move is twist the tail. What are you talking about? Renew your mind. Do it again. If you renew your wedding vows, you do it again. You hear a whisper, you obey it, and you wait for it. If you keep renewing the process hasn't changed. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He transforms and changes us in the same way. He whispers, waits for you to obey, and then waits for you to wait for the outcome. It's very simple. It takes an academic to mess it up. You'll get that in a minute. Listen, all of my life has been about getting in a position where I could hear the whisper of God. I will be 59 years old in July. Everything in my life has been a whisper. I got to tell you, it wasn't a shout about going to Africa. It was a whisper. One of the very first whispers I ever heard was out of Titus chapter 3, verse 4 or 5. It makes something like this statement: not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He has saved us. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but by or according to His mercy, He has saved us. I can remember being in Eureka, Kansas, and seeing that verse. I remember grabbing a piece of paper. Was sitting beside this. We had these ugly little velour chairs, and I reached over by the coffee table, and there was this piece of paper, and I turned it over, and I wrote these words: "You will never earn your way to my approval, Q." First time I ever heard anybody other than Annie call me Q. You will never earn your way to my approval, Q. But it is yours without condition right now. You know, some people have heart attacks. I had a grace attack. I had an attack of the grace of God. I was 19. Long time. And I had this attack of grace. And I can remember having this attack of grace. And I remember for at least 10 years, people tried to help me recover from that attack. That cannot be true. I mean, I had whole denominations try to tell me that the attack that I had was bad for me. Whole denominations. This was before Joseph Prince. This was before you were listening to everybody you're listening to. There was nobody on podcast in 1979. There were very little people on television. And if they were, they were going, "Send me your money! Bob Tilton." There was nobody talking about grace. Nobody. But that whisper changed my life. I remember when the Lord whispered to me, and He said, "Quentin, do you know I love you? Do you know? I lavish you." I can remember weeping in that little house over on Greenwood Street. I can remember weeping. Not only does He love me not only does He give me grace, but He gives me this lavish love that never fails to bring me into His presence and provide. Listen, that wasn't Pentecostal because I didn't even like Pentecostals right then. Seriously. My grandmother was embarrassing. In the first 10 years of me preaching, if my grandmother was here, I wouldn't get this far, and she'd be up shouting, waving a hanky. She always had a word from God. We never understood it, but she always had one. When people start telling me, "You've got to have the interpretation," my grandma didn't think so. She thought you ought to get it somewhere between a hoop and a holler. Somewhere in there, you got it. And she went back and sat down. Listen, those whispers moved to Hutchinson. Annie looked at me and said, "I didn't hear nothing." Well, baby, he didn't say it very loud. I remember when Glenn Edmonds wanted me to go to Mexico. I did not even like Glenn Edmonds, let alone get in a van and go to Mexico. And I'd take everything we got for years and go to Mexico. I remember standing in Monterrey, Mexico. I used to travel with notebooks about this size. I traveled with three of them. Each of them would hold about 20 sermons. And I'm standing in Juan's church in Monterrey, and it's packed out, and I got this word from God, and I'm going to preach my heart out, and I'm standing in the back, and Judy Perez is going to interpret, and she's older than I am. She's not very good at interpreting, so I've shared my notes with her, and she's made notes in her Bible, and I'm standing there, and the Lord said, I want you to preach a different sermon. I said, yes, sir. Which one? Number one, number two, number three. Which one? I got another notebook. Which one you want me to preach? And the Lord said, no, I got a fresh one for you. You got a what? I mean, I got 42 pages of notes this morning. I write books. And I'm, well, Lord. And I turned around and I looked at Pastor Juan. I said, Juan, is there a, I need a private room. He thought I had Montezuma's revenge. He's taking me to the bathroom in Monterrey, Mexico. I said, no, I just need a place to be alone. I stepped into this room on the back side of the stage. Little bitty place had junk thrown in it. You remember those rooms in the back? It had junk. And I stepped back there and I said, Lord, I'll do anything you tell me to do, but you better hurry. We got 9 minutes. I'm one of the best sermons I ever preached. Whispers. Whispers to me about training pastors. Whispers to me about planting churches. Whispers to me, hey, I want you to tell the world that Catholics and Protestants are one people. Boy, that hasn't gone over well. Just want you to know, I still got people throwing rotten eggs at me. That we're one church. Still got people throwing eggs. Most of the time when he whispers, I duck. Because a whisper is costly. A whisper is dangerous. A whisper can take you out of your comfort zone and out of hiding. Gideon had to crawl out of the cave he was in and stand up with 10,000 and go to 300 in order to fight the enemy. A whisper can move you from a place of comfort into a place. A whisper. Light be. He didn't shout. He looks at Noah and says, build an ark. Abram, like the stars of the sky, the sand of the sea. David, build me a temple. Are you listening? Jehoshaphat. Zacharias, Elizabeth is going to have a child. Mary. Joseph, it was me. Peter, I'm the Christ. Paul, who are you persecuting? Whispers. The entire church was born by whispers. Elijah ran for his life. And the angel says, if you'll go to the mountain, takes him 40 days to get there. Takes him 40 days, Dale, to get in position for God to whisper. The angel said, go to the mountain. He got to the bottom of the mountain, and the Lord said, go into the cave. He gets in the cave, and the storms, and the lightning, and all this is happening. And the Lord says, come outside. Again, have you ever got yourself undercover? And the Lord said, he comes outside and the Lord, what are you doing here? When's the last time you heard God whisper? If you're not listening for the whisper, you miss the moment. Take that water, put it in that water pot. Take that banana and put it on his head. Dig that hole, take it around here. Buy that sign. Walk over there and stand. My whole life is the product of these promptings. I haven't got a secret, but a secret has me. Amen. He who dwells in the secret place. I remember a Sunday school teacher that I had a long time ago, Ponca City, Oklahoma. She told the story about Samuel, am I doing okay? Will you stay till I finish? Is it all right? 12:15, I promise. If you just...
Well, I didn't hear that.
And my Sunday school teacher was telling the story about how Samuel, the 9-year-old, was hearing this voice calling his name, Samuel, Samuel. He would run to Eli, and Eli goes, I didn't do it. The third time, Eli says, just answer the Lord. And she gave us this poem that I've kept all these years. Oh, give me Samuel's ear. Can you read it? Yeah. Oh, give me Samuel's ear, an open ear, O Lord, alive and quick to hear each whisper of thy word. Like him to answer thy call and to obey thee first of all. I remember that poem like it was yesterday. I must have been 11 or 12. I remember laying down at night, reading that poem, going back to Sunday school and say, does God still speak to little boys? Listen, I was raised in a church that could hear the whispers and just do what he said. And if you're going to listen to somebody whispering and do what he says, you cannot be concerned about your dignity. If you're concerned about your dignity, as Tommy says, you'll probably never experience the divinity of God. Years of allowing God to place you and I into a position where we could hear a whisper from God. Listen, have you ever heard your wife whisper to you? You can go, I didn't remember you saying that. When did you tell me that? Oh, we were in a car driving to Dylan's. Oh, I don't remember that. What were we doing? Well, we were watching TV, remember? Well, what were we doing? Well, we were at dinner. But I promise you, I better never forget where she lays on this shoulder, turns that head into that ear, and whispers something to me. Because when your spouse whispers something to you, you pay attention on a different level. Or if you don't, I have another 2 before that has... whispers. We need to understand that a whisper can change our lives. That whispers are the power of God to be released and revealed in every one of our lives. A whisper will rescue you, redeem you, re-energize you. A whisper can change your life, reform you. The church needs to listen to the whisper in the midst of the chaos of the moment, to hear the whisper in the midst of the storm. Oh, come on. You're riding your donkey to Damascus and you're going to kill a Christian and you get knocked off, laying blind in the dust. Who are you? I'm Jesus. What do you want me to do? I want you to get up, going down, and wait. And over on the other side of town, there's Ananias. Ananias, Saul, the one that's killing Christians. I want you to get up and go over to Straight Street. I want you to go in, lay hands on him so he can recover his sight. And I want you to tell him this. Now, if I'm Ananias, I'm going, say what? Huh? Would you repeat that, Lord? But I want you to understand, God whispers something over here to an unlikely individual, a murderer. Whispers over here to an unlikely individual, comes over here and whispers to another unlikely individual. But because 2 people obey a whisper of God, 2/3 of the New Testament has been written. Thousands of people came to Christ. We are still living on the obedience of 2 people that heard a whisper. Wonder what God is whispering to you. Wonder if he's asked you to bring someone to church on Easter. Wonder if he's asked you to witness to someone. Wonder if he said, just pray with them. Forgive them. Stop judging. Be kind. Just wonder if we're listening to the whispers. Oh, I can't go there. That one whisper alone has compelled many Christ followers across the globe to leave their lives and to quit jobs and to change the world. One whisper. One whisper. Philip chased the chariot. One whisper. We are one whisper away from God changing and forming and rearranging our lives. Pastor, why are you so set on fasting and prayer, forgetting and feeding and focusing on Jesus? Because if you'll disconnect from the ambient noise of the world, if you'll stop listening to the confusions and the criticisms and the news of the world, if you'll separate, consecrate, come apart from the world, it will help you to hear the whisper. With me,
whatever he says,
just do it and wait. It's so interesting. My favorite story when it comes to being put in a position to hear the whisper of God is Ruth. Ruth is the daughter-in-law of Naomi, whose husband and sons are killed. They die in Moab. You remember the story, Orpah and Ruth. One daughter goes back and stays with the familiar. Another daughter says, I'll follow you anywhere. Your God will be my God. Your people will be my people. Where you die, I will die. You remember the story? So in the midst of all this chaos, here's Naomi and she's going back. In the year 2000, the Lord spoke to me and said, this will be a season where I give people the opportunity to go back or to go forward. There are many people that will return to the familiar, and then there are people that will move into the unknown and experience my greatness. Year 2000. Still happening. I've watched it happen over 17 years. Ruth follows Naomi all the way back home. You know, you don't follow bitter people. So many people tell this story like Naomi was this bitter old woman. No, she said, my circumstances are bitter. She didn't say, I'm bitter. She said, her circumstances are bitter. You see, if you're Ruth, you follow somebody that knows how to handle crisis. When you meet somebody who in the midst of a crisis and who has lost everything stays calm and says, I'm just going back to God. People will follow that. Some of you get so shook over every little thing and your drama is so big, who would want to follow you to church? Amen. You're so shook up about this, that, and the other that you haven't got any faith. You haven't got a relationship with God. You lose your cookies over nothing. Naomi, under pressure, was attractive. And Ruth said, whatever God helps you do that, I'm following you. Your witness needs to be how to stay calm and have peace in the midst of the storms of the moment. Am I making sense? And so Ruth follows Naomi all the way back to Bethlehem into Israel. And Naomi begins to say, I want you to go into that guy's field and glean from that guy's field. I want you to go over there and do that there. You know, sometimes if you're ever going to get inside, you might have to follow instructions from somebody who is on the inside. Because see, according to Deuteronomy 23 and Deuteronomy 25, a Moabite is not allowed in. In fact, if we find a Moabite in, we're going to kill you. It's exactly what Deuteronomy says. The law says, you outsider, you foreigner, cannot come in. You better hear me. I could go to prophesying. The law says, you can't come in here. But Naomi starts telling Ruth inside information. And all of a sudden, Ruth keeps ending up in these places of favor. If you'll listen to somebody with inside information, they'll keep nudging you into the places of the favor of God that legally you have no right to be in. Am I making any sense? But if you'll take a little mentoring and a little instruction and go into training behind somebody that has inside information, you'll find yourself in a position to be moved from being a Moabite to being an Israelite. You'll come from the outside to the inside, from the curse to the blessing, from the death to the life, if you'll just follow some instructions and let God put you in the right place. And all of a sudden, Naomi goes, okay, tonight I want you to go to the threshing floor And while he's celebrating the harvest, I want you to go in and hide yourself in this room. And he comes in and he goes to sleep, and she pulls the blanket over her and she hides up under his feet. She just goes to his feet. He's been partying. He doesn't recognize her being there because of the harvest. And the scriptures say he rolls over and is startled by the woman laying at his feet. See, if you listen to Naomi, she'll get you so close. And he rolls over and says, "My daughter, what are you doing here?" And she says, "You're my redeemer." He said, "You're right, I am. Anything you want, I'll do it." Listen, the life of a Christian is to put yourself so close that when he whispers, we need people who know how to follow instructions and get that close. Christian, that won't happen overnight. I pray for you today. Pray with you today, and you can start a journey. But this is 40-some years. And I tell you, I have to get up every day, Dale, and listen for another whisper. It really isn't any easier. It's just as much of a challenge today as it was the very first day. You got to get up every day. Whatever he says. Lent is a wonderful time to fast and pray. Forget about yesterday. Leave Moab there. Feed on the Word of God and focus on Jesus. Just listen for the whisper and do it. And wait and see. My whole life has been that. Anybody that's known me very long, Bruce and Carol sitting over here, I'm not very good at administration. I just told Tana, that I hate this stuff. Best thing that happened to me is somebody else take care of it. Best thing that ever happened to me, somebody else take care of it. If you want God to open your ears that you might hear the smallest of whisper, you come right now. I'm not going to beg you. I'm not going to ask you twice. If you want me to lay hands on you, that God will let you hear whispers, get up out of your seat and come now.